In Asian culture, if you disagree with somebody, you don't say anything at all. Yeah. You know, in American culture, if you disagree with somebody, you voice it, you know, and you have a conversation about it. If you're anxious about something, it's the same sort of emotional read as being excited about something. Yeah. The computers can't tell the difference between the
oh,
two.
Really?
And most people actually can't tell the difference between the two either. In order to be good at sales, you need to fail at it. Just like in martial arts, you know, you want to do a jump kick, you need to fall down at least 1,000 times to get a jump kick right a few times. I have found that in any job that I've ever had, no matter how many hours I worked in the day, I can go to a martial arts studio and train and teach for 5 more hours and feel just fine. You know, it's like I took a nap all of a sudden and I'm feeling good, you know? I'm going to speak for the both of us and tell me if I'm wrong. Yeah. Martial artists are not normal people. You know, we're not, you know, we're kind of weird in a funny way,
yeah.
You know? I think it's important to be well-traveled. I think that's something that people need to do. They need to go out and see the world, meet many different types of people to realize that they're not so, that they can be who they want to be.
Hey guys, and welcome back to the I Love Success podcast. Our mission is to help 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams. I can't do it myself, but let's do it together. Help me by being the best version of yourself and do something with your life. Today's guest is a young guy with more than 20 years of martial arts experience, including being a member of the United States Wushu team. He has trained under some of the world's best Wushu instructors and practitioners, including Wu Bin, Jet Li's teacher, Yang Banyun, 3-time world champion, and Li Ying, Beijing Wushu A-team member. Let's welcome the young entrepreneur, Nick Spencer. Welcome, Nick.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're here today. I know you a little bit, but who is Nick really as a person?
Oh, well, I probably joke around way too much. I've been known to say cheap puns for a quick laugh. And I am a martial artist. I really enjoy practicing and training martial arts. And I feel lucky enough to have found a full-time job doing that.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I mean, I'm a martial artist myself, and I think we're going to explore that a little bit more, why martial arts can really get you into this lifestyle of wanting to teach others and explore yourself. And also develop as a human being, right?
Because sure, yeah.
That's what it's all about in the end, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's start with Nick Spencer as a young kid. Where did you grow up and what do you remember from your early life?
So I guess, born in Korea, moved to Japan very soon afterwards and raised in Arizona. I'm half Korean. Yeah. Half Korean and half American. So a lot of people ask about the dual citizenship idea yeah. and stuff like that. But I was a naturalized citizen almost right away. Yeah. So didn't really get much of a chance to be a Korean citizen. So no need to even have to go to the army because that's a known thing in Korea.
Yeah.
And when we moved to Arizona, I guess I was a troublemaker because my parents very quickly wanted me to go to a martial arts studio. Mm-hmm. And you know, get some of my energy out. So by the time I get home, I'm no longer causing trouble. I'm probably, you know, just going to sleep right away.
Yeah.
And then moved to Washington D.C. area not too long after that, where I learned this style of martial art, which I've really grown to enjoy. It's known as Chinese Wushu.
Yeah, interesting. And so did you grow up with kind of two cultures, one the Korean culture and also the American culture? How would you explain
yes.
your home life?
That's a really interesting thing, and I haven't been able to really connect with other people with this sort of this particular type of, you know, trying to find self-identity until I moved to Los Angeles. There's a lot of half Asian people, well, I'm sure all over the United States, but in particular Los Angeles moving yeah. here, and they call it kind of Hapa, you know, hey, are you Hapa? That means, half Asian, half something else, whatever else
okay.
it is, which includes Indian, which includes Southeast Asian, any sort of kind of Asian culture yeah. and something else.
Yeah.
And And it's interesting to see that the two cultures are so different. Yeah. You know, in Asian culture, if you disagree with somebody, you don't say anything at all. Yeah. You know, and in American culture, if you disagree with somebody, you voice it, you know, and you have a conversation about it. And that led to lots of confusion growing up, and even among my parents who are themselves, you know, very different as far as...
Is your mom or your dad Korean? Or
my mom's Korean.
Mom Korean and dad American. Okay,
yeah.
Interesting, yeah.
So, you know, I've grown up, a very Korean thing to do is to go to a Korean church. Yeah. And since all of the kids were full Korean, first I had to convince them that I spoke the same language, which was a huge surprise to a lot of them. And because they couldn't speak their secret language around me, you know? And then the other parts were that I wanted to assimilate. And at the same time, I didn't totally understand because of the cultural things that my dad had taught me, which made me seem more loud than the Koreans had expected.
Yeah. And how how was this growing up as a kid? Was it confusing, or how did you see it as a human being? Because both my parents are Macedonian, but I grew up in Sweden. So I had this, like, basically two cultures, one at home and then one outside home, right?
Yeah.
So it's a little bit similar to yours in that sense, but I've always seen it as kind of a strength.
Yeah.
Because I get to pick and choose what I love.
Oh, sure.
With different cultures, right?
Yeah. Well, I think it's a little bit different because I didn't have an at-home life at-home identity. Yeah. It was, you know, my mom and dad are very, very different people, and they had a lot of misunderstandings just because of the way that they were brought up, cultural misunderstandings. Yeah. And so I had a lot of confusion at home and a lot of confusion growing up too. Yeah. In Arizona, there weren't, where I grew up, it's a very small town. Yeah. It's called Sierra Vista, just south of Tucson.
Okay.
And I've only met one other person outside of that town, actually here in Los Angeles, that grew up there. Very small town. If there's like a new street light or a new, you know, a street light that comes up, everyone is on the front page of the news. It's a big deal, you know.
Wow.
It's hard to connect with really anybody. So I've learned to be pretty quiet by myself for a long period of time.
Yeah.
And not until I left home and kind of tried to figure things out on my own did I decide that learn that I had a voice of my own.
Yeah. And how did you, like, when did you make that decision? I gotta go out in this world and explore myself to be able to find my identity.
I think that college really helps with that.
Yeah.
So after high school, you know, natural thing to do for most people is to go into university.
Yeah.
And I saw that as my escape. I did not see it as my opportunity for education. I saw it as escape. You know, let me get out there. Let me make mistakes. Let me meet new people. And I can discard the people that I don't think are great in my life. And maybe add new people that are good in my life.
What were you escaping from at that point?
Escaping from confusion. I felt like I created an expected character that people who have been around me, especially during grade school, just kind of expected me to be. And I think that, and I've met with those people again, they all said that, you know, Nick, you're a pretty loud person, you're very talkative, but I didn't personally feel that way.
Yeah.
And so kind of getting out of that and more into my not so comfort zone with brand new people kind of allowed me to be more comfortable with being outspoken about things.
Yeah, that's amazing. And do you ever, because in this day and age, there's a lot of talk about like identity, where you're from and all of that. And like, I see myself as a citizen of the world. I think we all have different cultures and that's amazing. I'm proud of my heritage and all of that. But I want to see the person behind that because there are good and bad people from all walks of life. So it's so... There's so much prejudice today.
Yeah.
How do you like see all of that, and how have you been thinking about that? Because I don't know exactly how it is to grow up here in America and be half Korean and half American. How did that? Can you just talk a little bit about that?
I feel like the most interesting and possibly intelligent people that I've met are the ones that are well-traveled.
Yeah.
They've met many different types of people from all walks of the world and all sorts of cultures, all sorts of different hardships. And that's something that I've really grown to respect. And very quickly, I felt like I should travel as well, learn about the world. Yeah. Because the idea of just growing up in one place and trying to fit in to that one place, you know, you learn very quickly that you're going to be accepted for who you are if you just kind of get out there and see what else is out there in the world.
Yeah. Now, I think that's a great advice also for people that are from a small town, they don't feel that they fit into that model of how you should be as a human being. But it's okay to have your own type of creativity, and also that's part of life, right?
Yeah.
And especially as a martial artist, it's Bruce Lee said it, the art of expressing your human body, right?
Absolutely.
There's so much talent out there in different fields, and we see that, for example, in The Voice or American Idol. These are people like working in a bar, and they have this amazing talent.
Yeah.
But something inside of them holds them back from pursuing that, right?
Sure, yeah.
And once you go out there, you have a good coach that puts you in that situation and you bloom, it feels amazing. It's like, wow, I belong here.
Yeah.
And that feeling is crazy cool. Can you just give some advice to people that feel held back?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I hope we talk about this later. I used to be a manager for a few singers, a travel manager.
Yeah.
And these people, they, besides being great singers, they knew their hustle game. As soon as they got off the stage, they were looking for a new manager, a new producer, somebody that they can work with so that they can get the next gig, in spite of being on the top of the billboards of the time. And one of them really did not enjoy singing in public to a stage. Well, the idea of it, it was kind of complicated when speaking with her about it. So it was very clear that she loved singing. It was very clear that she loved being on stage. But the journey from this behind the stage to up the stairs, which was the most painful thing for her. And I think it's the same was true for me too. Just before getting up to compete or to perform or something like that, I was so confident. And then walking up before, it's like, oh my goodness, what sort of decisions have I made in my life to get me here? I can't turn around. Everyone's looking at me. Oh my gosh, you know? And then to do that, to actually perform, it was such a great feeling.
Yeah.
It's like you're so thirsty and you get that first cup of water. It's that feeling of wow, it's more so than accomplishment, I think.
I think so. I think you're onto something here, because what we're talking about here is the anxiety that most people have when you're going outside of your comfort zone, which means that is exactly where you need to be, right?
That's right.
Because that's when you grow, when you feel that feeling. I love this and I love competing, but right before, holy shit, what's gonna happen? What have I put myself into?
Yeah.
What if I lose? What if I get ridiculed? What if people laugh at me?
Yeah.
These are the thoughts that every person has, but how do you have any tools for coping with those thoughts?
Well, there's a few things. Well, one is I realize that every person has these feelings too. So all these people around me that are about to be on stage, they're feeling this too. That makes me feel a little bit better. Yeah. You know, I'm not the only person in the world that feels these horrible feelings at first, you know?
Yeah.
And then I've also become desensitized to it too, to a certain degree, with experience. Once I've performed in front of a group of people X number of times, it's become easier. And then it later becomes fun.
Yeah.
Competition has never been fun for me because of the idea of competition.
Yeah.
I mean, being judged, because you're literally being judged and given a number afterwards.
Yeah.
But the benefits definitely outweighed the drawbacks in such a situation, to where it's like, okay, it's totally worth doing this. And by golly, I felt so good afterwards, you know? That's the hard part, I think, explaining that to my students too.
Yeah.
You know, they were nervous for a test. You know, coach, why do you have to make the test so hard? And why do you have to make me feel so nervous for a test? And I remind them, this is a performance martial art.
Yeah.
You need to perform. That's the idea. So for me to make you feel this nervous now will prepare you for when you perform at a tournament, for instance.
No, I think you're so right. And I mean, my father is my sensei, and he's been doing karate for many, many years.
Yeah.
And he always taught me that karate is not about competition, or martial arts is not about competition, but it's a part of it.
Definitely.
Because when you do that, not everybody can. I was, like you, a national team member and won a lot of medals. Mm-hmm. Not everybody can do that, and that's totally fine.
Yeah.
But I encourage everybody to sign up for a competition, because just to go up there and stand and either perform or or fight someone, and just being all by yourself in that situation, that makes you grow.
Definitely.
As a martial artist and also as a human being, because let's face it, in life, there will be situations where you need to man up. You, if you want to meet your dream girl, right?
Sure,
If you don't have the courage in that moment to go and talk to her, you might miss an opportunity.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of these things in life, and no one thinks it's easy. I mean, when you get to a point where you are numb to performing, my personal opinion is maybe it's time to move on and find something that excites you. Because if it excites you, it's going to make you anxious, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I think that being anxious about something like that means that you put high value to it.
Yeah.
You know, this is important to me, so this is a big deal. I can't mess this up, you know? So those are all really actually positive thoughts.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting. I read somewhere that the idea of feeling anxious about something is in it, they put people through an MRI scan, you know, and if you're anxious about something, it's the same sort of emotional read as being excited about something.
Yeah.
The computers can't tell the difference between the
two.
Oh,
really?
And most people actually can't tell the difference between the two either. Yeah. You know, they think they're anxious when really they're actually just pretty excited about it.
Yeah.
You know, and just maybe timid to take that first step.
Yeah.
And that's really all they need to do.
Yeah. And that's the life you want to have. You want to be excited in life.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, that's what makes you grow, like seeing new things and like exploring, and like you starting your martial arts academy. Like, what's going to happen? How am I going to design the logo? How am I going to attract students? How am I going to... There's so many questions which are scary, but also exciting.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're going to talk more about that. But first, I want to touch base on your sales skills, because you traveled the country for a couple of years.
For
5 years. Can you talk about that? What are your biggest tips for people that are in sales or wanting to start a business? What are...
Well, so let's start with the sales idea.
Yeah.
Sales is an emotional thing. I prefer the emotional sale. There's many different types of salespeople. The two big ones that I'd like to point out is the emotional salesperson and the logical salesperson. You know, there's one person that'll come up to you and say, you know, hey, you probably want this couch over here. Okay, well, your old couch is dead. We know that, right? And you're going to save a little bit of money by getting a couch on Craigslist, but you won't have the value. It's not going to last as long, and plus, you won't get any dust mites because this is made of leather instead of fabric. You know, you go through this list, and the pros outweigh the cons. Okay, it makes the most sense for you to purchase this couch today. You know, that's the logical sale. Me, I prefer the emotional sale. I work hard not for you to like me. I'm very clear about that. No one needs to like a salesperson. And I think any salesperson that feels the need for to be liked is still young. Some of my best sales days were when I was having a personal bad day, and I was very honest to my customers. I apologize, I'm having a bad day. Whatever feelings you may see are not being, it's not because of you. I just want to be really clear about that.
Yeah.
You know, and they actually appreciated that sort of communication before I went into my sales pitch. And then after that, they felt like they could trust me, you know? And then I would talk about things, if I was talking about the same couch, oh my gosh, I'm so excited about this couch. You know, this thing right here has saved me so many countless times when I spilled water on it. And I'm thinking of emotional circumstances that normally would freak out a normal person. And this item has been the solution to my problem, you know, emotionally. And that has been something that's worked for me, because I get hit by emotional sales all the time.
Yeah.
So I choose to use that sort of route, since my brain works in that way.
Yeah. And how much in sales is listening and how much is talking, you think?
sales, listening in sales is enough to understand why the person wants to purchase an item. If you can't answer that question, then you haven't listened enough. Or why are they in the store in the first place? You know, get an idea of, okay, are they, what, why are they looking at this particular couch? You know, is it the color? Is it the fabric? Is it the fact that they're just trying to get back at their spouse and try to swipe their credit card to get back at them for whatever reason? You know, there's some sort of ulterior motive, and you want to be able to find the solution to that problem. It's never because they want to sit down, because everyone has something that they can sit down on, even if it's a box. More so they want to solve a particular problem that's probably outside the item that's there. Yeah. If a salesperson can find that particular problem and answer that solution with the product that they're trying to sell, that's when the sale is going to be successful.
Interesting. Yeah. No, I love that. And for people struggling with sales, what do you want to tell them? They want to be good at this, because there's, let's face it, and we're going to talk about martial arts schools and academies. We have so many great instructors all over, but they're not good at the business side.
Sure, yeah.
So what do you want to tell to people that have a hard time selling?
Fail a lot. Yeah, don't be afraid to speak up. Don't be afraid to be rejected. I think that's, in the managers, sales managers are pretty notoriously not great at being supportive at this, because they want numbers, you know? But in order to be good at sales, you need to fail at it. Just like in martial arts, you know, you want to do a jump kick, you need to fall down at least 1,000 times to get a jump kick right a few times, you know? And then you need to fall time a whole bunch more to get it right. You know, it's same thing with sales. It's a skill. It's something that you have to practice. There are techniques that you can use, and then you can pick and choose your favorite techniques, but you need to make the mistakes in order to do it. Everyone articulates certain words certain ways. Everyone articulates certain emotions certain ways. And maybe there was a thing that I have said that maybe made you more interested in whatever item I'm selling, and I just didn't see it. Okay, well then I need to work on that technique to notice you getting that emotional feeling from my words. To be interested in an item. So yeah, really don't be afraid to fail. And if you have a manager that has a problem with that, there are lots of sales jobs available.
Yeah.
So don't worry about that either.
That's a good advice. And I think when it comes to leadership and being a sales manager, a sales leader, is so important to learn how to lead people.
Sure.
And as a coach, and there's so many people that want to lead,
yeah,
but there are very few good leaders, right?
That's right.
And I mean, what is really good leadership? But for me, it's about being those role models that we have in martial arts. Like my father, for example, if he said something, his word was so important that still, when he says something, that's what's going to happen.
That's a lot of value right there.
That's most value in the world.
Yeah.
I meet so many people that they promise a whole bunch of things. See, you're there at 3 and no one is there.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's so simple.
Sure.
And if you can't respect other people, how can you respect yourself? You know?
Yeah.
So I promise, I think it's super important, especially as a leader, to be that role model. And I have two more questions for you.
Yeah.
I've had a great time and learned a lot. I like the thing where you were, when you talked about targeting the right audience.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people make that mistake where you think it's an audience, but it might not be that audience.
Yeah.
And I think you just have to dig deep and talk to people how to really see what your true audience is.
Yeah.
And to know that. But let's imagine, Nick, that you are 87 years old and you're sitting in a rocking chair somewhere, I don't know if it's LA or where it is, in a dream spot, and you just think about your life.
Yeah.
And you just look back at it. What do you want to have accomplished? What do you see to be able to feel, oh, wow, it was a good life?
Besides martial arts, I think it's important to be well-traveled. I think that's something that people need to do. They need to go out and see the world, meet many different types of people to realize that they're not so, that they can be who they want to be, You know, there's so many different types of people out there, and to not travel and get out and see the world and experience it is very unfortunate. So that's something I'd like to be able to look back and say that I've seen all the corners of the world. You know, I would like to also say that I've written a book. That's something that I actually admire you for. You've taken the time to write a book, and not only that, a good one, you know. Thank so you. I think that's something that that I strive to do in the near future. And I think the third thing is that I would like for people to, and I think that to say that for people to find a martial arts style is would be too selfish of me to say, you know, but I think that if I can find a way to, and I think the way that you're doing this on your own, this I Love Success podcast and helping people, you know, feel the courage to be themselves or to speak out or to find the courage to do something that they want to do. You know, if I can do that in martial arts, maybe look back at my students and say, you know, I'm proud of this guy for doing this. I'm proud of this girl for getting out there and doing that. I think that idea of legacy is pretty strong on my mind.
Yeah, no, I think you will. My father has been teaching for more than 40 years, and like almost every week he get an email
from an old student.
Yeah. Like, that started a business or that did something, and they just say, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Or they will come with flowers to the dojo. He haven't seen them in like 10, 20 years and say,
wow,
thank you for showing me what life is about. You were really hard at the time, but now I realize what's it about.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that's what, as a martial arts instructor, it's all good to have students that are good in the actual martial arts, but yeah, more importantly, you want to raise and help guide people to lead a good life.
Yeah.
Because that is martial arts, right? Mm. To have respect for other people, to create a family or a good job, to see the world and to feel good about yourself. Because there's so many people in this world that are not feeling good about themselves. And I know it's hard out there, but if you're listening to this, you have access to probably an iPhone or like a computer.
Yeah.
So you're probably in a pretty good place in your life. And that means if you're not satisfied, find somewhere along the way to change. And if you can't do it yourself, find type of role models. And a lot of them are to be found in martial arts.
Sure. I have a question for you too, because it seems like your parents and my parents were the ones that got out of wherever they were at the time and went to a new place.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid that maybe some of the listeners would feel like, well, it's easy for you guys. You guys got out, you know? Yeah. So my question for you is, what would you say to those people
that feel stuck in?
Yeah.
I would say, I feel you. I understand you. But there's always some type of way to change.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we look at any place in the world, even the poor countries, the poorest village, there's always one cool entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I mean, I've read about people that had to escape war, and there's one guy that makes tea and sells tea to all these people at the refugee camp just to make enough money to travel to the next place.
Yeah.
So there's always people that are resourceful and that see opportunities. So I encourage you to start thinking about ideas to get to where you're gonna go and where you wanna go. And if you don't know where you wanna go, but you at least know I'm not in the right place, yeah, you have to put movement and stop feeling sorry for yourself. Many people feel sorry for themselves in different situations, even people that have everything.
Hmm.
When you're a victim, it's hard to change.
Yeah.
When you take responsibility, it's easier to change. I'm not saying it's easy, but there's a possibility.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the advice that I can give.
I like that. That's really cool.
And the last question, because you are a person that you accomplished one of your big dreams to start your school. I know it's just the beginning of your journey and you have a lot of things to do, but you took that leap of faith, which for me is super impressive, and I admire you for that, and I want to congratulate you for that. But what do you want to say to people listening to this podcast? They have a dream too. What can they do right now? Because we want them to take action. What can they do right now to get closer to that dream?
Well, this wasn't my first leap of faith. You know, I traveled. I was I got out and went to college. I did not live anywhere near my parents, you know, when I went to college. I felt like that was kind of a leap of faith. Yeah. And then from there you take many risks and you make many failures, you know, and you assess and then you try again. I think if you are the type of person that wants to do something new or create something, you need to practice. Just like in martial arts, you need to practice making risks. You need to practice doing things that are out of your comfort zone. Take a step back, assess the situation, and then try something new or try a new way to do whatever goal that you were trying to accomplish before. That idea of insanity, you know, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result is very true in a lot of people, including myself. I tried to take an economics class over and over again, and I failed many times. And I didn't get the hint that I wasn't very good at economics until I didn't have any more money to pay for the class. So I didn't actually get a degree for that. Instead, I had to work my way up to whatever positions that I got to, and that kind of smacked some sense into me, you know. And then the idea of getting a new job, even that's a risk in itself, you know. So don't think of, hey, I'm waiting for that one big thing or that one big decision. No, life is a whole bunch of decisions and opportunities, you know, and learn from those.
Yeah. No, I love that. So just go out there and do something and gradually it will happen for you. You just have to make more and more things, and you make your mistakes, you learn, you move on.
Yeah.
And don't just wait and sit around for someone to drag you and say, come here with me, this is what's going to happen.
No.
It could happen, but I mean, you can be hit by the lightning, you can win in the lottery, but that's just things that happen. But you want to create your life. That's what's interesting, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And Nick, had an amazing hour.
Yeah, this was great.
I love that you came here, and I owe you now. I have to come to your school.
Yeah, you need to stop by the studio.
And I really want to do that. And I just encourage everybody listening to this to just think about your own life and just for a minute decide just one thing that you're going to change that you're not happy with. And then just go for it. That's it. Also, if you like this podcast, I want you to share it with a friend, a family member, a coworker, someone you haven't talked to in a long time, and just tell them to listen to this so they also can improve their life just a little bit. Because my mission is to help 10 million people in 10 years to go after their dreams. But this is about community. It's not about me. I can't do it myself. That's why I have people like Nick here. And together, we can grow and we can create a little bit better place in this world, and we can chase our dreams a little bit more. Thank you so much.
Thank you.